CliffCentral.com.
All right, it is just after 7:30. We've got Markets Mondays, which is one of the things I love to do every fortnight. We check in with somebody who actually knows what the hell's going on in the world economy. And of course, today we cannot but talk about some of the things that have been happening since Silicon Valley Bank started to cause its trouble. But whether you're a new trader looking for a safe place to start or an experienced trader who is looking for low spreads, multi-assets, and high tech, you will find Markets.com suits you perfectly. As you know, we've got a special offer to everyone who listens to the show. You could follow the link on cliffcentral.com to register with Markets.com. You will get a 30% bonus on your deposit. So go along to cliffcentral.com. You will see Markets.com come up. Click on that. Follow through. 30% bonus on your deposit. It's not a bad way to start. And this week, we're joined by Finalto and Markets.com's chief market analyst, Neil Wilson, as we unpack the shaky banking conditions following SVB's collapse. Can we expect another financial crisis? What kind of policy moves will the Fed make next? And most importantly, how does it affect us? Neil, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, good morning. Nice to see you.
Morning. Yeah, there's nothing that you could call usual about what we do on this show, but one of the best things about having you guys from markets.com available is that you're here to help us understand and unpack what's happening in the world. So Trevor Gumby actually asked earlier, what happened with the Silicon Valley Bank collapse? Because it's something we're all a bit concerned about. It's the second largest bank failure in the United States' history. Obviously, it's very difficult to pinpoint any one thing when it comes to multi-billion dollar disasters. But what would you say was the biggest issue at SVB?
So SVB had kind of mismatched its portfolio. It sunk too much of its assets into what we call long duration bonds. So government bonds that mature in sort of 10, 20, 30 years. And what that meant was, because the Fed had been raising interest rates, it was sitting on quite a chunky amount of unrealized losses. And that started to spook depositors. And we actually saw sort of really the first bank run of the digital age, where, you know, a lot of these very flighty, very rate sensitive, very, you know, sort of knowledgeable depositors at SVB, who mainly tech companies. So companies that are in the know, if you like, not like, you know, the likes of you or I, who might not be that bothered if the savings rate was 3% instead of 3.5% or whatever. These are people who are sort of keeping an eye on this sort of stuff on a regular basis, and they start to pull their money out. And once you get a bank run and people start pulling their money out, well, the tends to only be one way it goes. And that's why we've seen Silicon Valley fail. And this morning I'm reading that they've actually, the Citizens Bank has actually bought the assets of SVB.
Oh. All right, so I mean, there is a follow-on thing that you kind of hinted at here, that SVB collapses, and then you've got First Republic Bank, Credit Suisse, there's one called Signature Bank. Is this a financial crisis, and do you think the next domino to fall will be something much bigger and much more international, or do you think they've managed to stem the flow of blood?
I'm not sure if they have stemmed it yet. We'll see. I mean, it seems to be that some of the weaker kind of players have kind of been taken out. I think we're in a situation of kind of fear that's driving this, and the market is kind of like a sort of hungry serpent or something that's kind of searching for its next victim, and it's just sniffing out where the weaker hands are. And I think that's why you saw Deutsche Bank coming under pressure at the end of the week, the big German bank, which has gone through years and years of pain and restructuring, much like Credit Suisse had done. You know, for many years we joked that Credit Suisse had become the new Deutsche Bank, and it's sort of gone to an extreme. And now the question is, Deutsche Bank the new Credit Suisse? And they're sort of the weaker, kind of more troubled end of the banking spectrum in Europe. And I think, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that there's one or two more failures, but this is not 2008. The banks are not sitting on, trillions of dollars of really, really bad assets, really sort of crappy sort of mortgages and so on. They're, they're not in that position. So this is not going to spiral in that sense, but I think it could result in a kind of credit crunch whereby, you know, banks stop lending as much, and that can lead to, you know, real recession.
One of the questions that I have is that obviously, you know, the Biden administration climbed in and guaranteed that depositors would get their money back, but that does nothing for the investors in the bank. They are not guaranteed any kind of return on this. In other words, if you were an investor, you just have to suck it up. Is that right, Neil?
Yeah, basically. I mean, even on the deposit side, there's been some pretty mixed messages. We saw from Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, last week, said one thing on Wednesday and had a backtrack to pick on Thursday. Basically, once you're talking about deposit insurance, you're in a bad place, because really it's the sort of thing, it wants to be the kind of unseen hand that kind of steps in when, if there is a crisis, that there is some sort of intervention, some sort of control mechanism. But you don't really want to be talking about it overtly, because there's $17 trillion of deposits in the US.
Yeah.
The government can't just bail them all out in reality. Nope. But in practice, it can step in as required. That's kind of the message that they're going to get to. But yeah, investors are you know, they're obviously they're the ones that are, I guess, most exposed to this. And that's why you're seeing the share prices fall, because, you know, investors are you know, big intelligence or institutional investors are saying that we're just, you know, there's too much risk here. We, you know, the risk desk is kind of telling the portfolio managers what to do here. They're saying that there's too much risk here. We need to remove ourselves from this.
Well, I mean, part of the problem here at SVB, people aren't really talking about it as much, is that their risk person was not doing risk. They were buggering around with all kinds of other stuff and virtue signaling all over the place, because Silicon Valley is obviously one of those places where, you know, the more woke you are, the more respect you get. Certainly social currency seems to be high for that kind of thing. And the risk person, the person in charge of managing that risk at SVB, was messing around with other stuff.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, go woke and go broke. I think that's the message. I mean, they obviously had, you know, priorities were maybe not where they should have been. You know, there's a bigger sort of issue there, if you like, across corporate culture, whereby there is a lot of focus on certain aspects that you think maybe are not fulfilling your fiduciary duty by worrying too much about, well, climate change or whatever it is. You know, the companies themselves, their responsibility is ultimately to their
shareholders.
Yeah, and you know, longer term, obviously, you know, there's lots of things in the long term that you might consider are important, but in the short term, you got to always be looking at where you are and what your risk is, and what your, you know, as they found out, they shoved a whole lot of money into at the top of the market in government debt, and they decided that when it was flagged to them, that they said, well, actually we like the yield on this, we like the return, so we're going to keep it there, even though it created problems and ultimately the failure. So they're really showed a real lacking in risk management. That's an outlier. That shows that they're an outlier. That's not a sign that this is a deeper problem across banking space, because I think the vast majority of banks are not in that position at all. They're not like that. So it, in a sense, it's a good thing, because it sort of shows that they are an exception rather than the rule.
All right. Well, let's turn our attention to something else. A lot of people who listen to this show were very, very gung-ho about crypto for a long time, as was I. I think maybe that passion has subsided for many people, but we have seen a decoupling between crypto and the markets. Now, do you think this holds any long-term significance, or do you think it's just a knee-jerk reaction to uncertainty?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the Jamie Dimon kind of position, the pet rocks, you know. I'm not not to sound too dismissive, but you know, I think they're an answer that's seeking a question, and I'm not quite sure what that question is. And I think definitely we've seen decoupling. Bitcoin's rallied significantly since bank failure. That could be because people are searching for somewhere else to put their money. You know, people putting their money in money market funds to get sort of 4 or 5% returns and taking them out of banks. Maybe they're also putting them into Bitcoin. I'm not so sure. I think maybe it was just that you saw this big momentum trade through the start of the year, And really what the banking crisis has done is kind of lead to a big unwind of that position. So a reversal of that trade. And so the reversal of that trade was positive for Bitcoin and other, some other cryptos anyway. I'm not sure. I don't think that this is the end of the financial system or anything like that. So I think that this is maybe a bit of an anomaly, this decoupling. I think fundamentally you're going to see the sort of mean reversion where you know crypto assets start to function as a kind of proxy for the amount of liquidity and risk appetite that there is in the market.
All right, well, I was talking just the other day to your colleague at markets.com and someone who also comes and gives us some good advice, Simon Brown, the other day, and Simon said to me he is particularly worried about South Africa's Reserve Bank, and he reckons that they might just keep interest rates where they are. We're slightly ahead of the curve of the Fed in America when it comes to raising interest rates, and that's good because we don't want to see a huge outflow of investment capital in South Africa just because our interest rates reach the same level as the US interest rates in terms of how low they are still. So, I mean, I wondered whether you thought that that was something to look at and what you think the Fed's behavior is going to be going forward, because obviously they only have this one tool to manage inflation, and inflation is the big, boogeyman that they have to try and take care of.
Yeah, so I think, well, as regards to the Fed, I think they kind of signaled last week that they're pretty much on pause now. They might raise once more, but they think that this banking crisis is going to lead to a significant amount of tightening in credit conditions. So they might lend, basically, the banks do, and that's sort of like. That's like several hikes. So they're going to sort of sit and wait and see what that pans out like. The question is, they don't really know what sort of, you know, impact, that market impact this has had on credit. So we'll see. And I think probably that this will lead to further tightening. And that does do some of the job for the Fed. Whether or not they then find out that actually they sort of if this sort of signature bank Citizens Bank deal with SVB helps to alleviate concerns, and maybe some of the stress in the banking sector goes away, I don't see there's any one solution. I think that probably this is going to have to play out like a full cycle. It's going to have to lead to banks reining in credit. There's no other sort of solution here. There's not some magic wand where you say, well, their Credit Suisse is fixed, they're done. Right. It's going to lead to tightening in financial condition and then possibly recession. I think you're looking at probably quite a hard landing in the US later this year.
All right. So for those people who are trading on markets.com now, they want to know about the Q1 earnings season. What do you think is going to happen there? I mean, I'm asking you to look into the crystal ball, but you have experience of this stuff. So you're a better person to answer this than me. And maybe there's some things that we should be aware of looking at these results.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's a sort of general sense that what sort of headwinds are earnings looking at? Is the consumer holding up? I think we're starting to see signs that consumers cracking, but there's still significant amount of, we're talking here about the US mainly, just because the US is the biggest market, and that's kind of what people trade on. There's still a lot of savings there that can be deployed, and they're going to be deployed as consumers spend. So I think there's potential for earnings again to hold up okay, but it's the outlook. I think we're going to be looking at what the CFOs are saying about demand going into sort of Q3, Q4. And I think that's going to be pretty weak. I think we're going to see some very weak guidance. So I think you're looking at earnings in lots of quarters, lots of sort of sections of the market holding up pretty surprisingly well. But then the guidance being very weak, and that's maybe going to rattle investors.
All right. Well, always good to check in with you, Neil, and thank you for your advice today and for clarifying things like SVB and the possible banking crisis. It's always good to hear these things from someone who knows what they're talking about. And we will catch up with you again soon, I'm sure.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Very, very good. There's Neil Wilson with markets.com. You can join markets.com today, get a 30% bonus. Just follow the link on cliffcentral.com. And if you've never tried any of this before, maybe it's time you dip your toe in. It's worth checking them out. MarketsComSA on all the social media. That's Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can find all the information you need. And they're doing lots of cool and interesting things. We had a function here the other day with the guys from Markets. And they were talking to a whole bunch of traders, young and old, big traders, small traders. It's really an incredibly exciting place to be. And I think if you haven't tried it out before, this is maybe the time to give it a go. CliffCentral.com.